Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave, and he is Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
It is Sunday fun day.
It is.
So at Revolution Church, we're making this show for October 15th, which is Sunday fun day at our church. We're going to have a bunch of bounce houses, having cinnamon rolls, hot dogs.
Right. It's going to be fun because we are celebrating,
basically, it's our church anniversary.
Yeah.
But we are having fun because we love what we do here. And we want you to come out and be part of it.
Amen.
So we got services 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. Now, if you're listening to this and it's not October 15th, 2017,
right,
then you need to check the website for our service times.
Yeah.
Because they change often. But
yeah, Jeff is not a liar. We just know the truth as it is right now.
So 8:30. 10 o'clock and 11:30. If you want some cinnamon rolls, come out at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the radio show's already on air after 8 o'clock.
Right.
But if you want
hot
dogs, come to the 11:30 service. You can get hot dogs after that. Yeah. Bring your kids. They're going to have bounce houses and stuff. It's going to be a great time here at the church, Revolution Church, Salina, Kansas. Okay, today our topic, we're going to try to get as many people to quit listening to Truth Revolution as possible.
What?
We've only done this topic one other time.
Yeah. Hey, you know a really good way to keep people from listening to Truth Revolution?
What?
Let's just sit here for half an hour and say nothing.
Actually, you know, there's some stations that put us on that when there's enough silence, it goes to a commercial automatically.
Really?
I wonder if we just trigger anything in some radio station out there. Anyway, today we're talking about the ontological argument. The ontological argument for God's existence.
Right. Now, this one is not, I am not as familiar with this one. So you're carrying the load today, buddy.
Because I'm happy, I'm alone. If you feel like a room without a roof.
Okay, I like this one. There's a lot of debate over this. We want to prove God's existence. We like to do it logically. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got the teleological argument. It's got the argument from design. We have the Kalam cosmological argument, which shows that the universe had a beginning.
Right.
Okay, so the universe was designed. You can look at all these aspects of design and see God made it. You can look and see the fact that the universe had a beginning. Someone had to make it. Someone had to put it there.
Right.
There's the other cosmological argument, which states that you have to rely on something outside of yourself or you cease to exist. Like we need water to continue to exist. Things like that. This is the ontological argument. Now, it's basically known as the argument of necessity.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to read these, or Dave's going to read these lines one at a time. Then we're going to go back through and explain them. I say we're going to try to lose as many people as possible because, a lot of people check out.
This one's tough.
So the challenge for you today, this is not going to be an easy show. The challenge for you today is to follow along and see if you can understand it. And there are PhDs who will say,
not going to do it.
I don't get this.
Right.
Okay.
Check it out. The first one says, God is, by definition, a necessary being.
Another one bites the dust.
So that doesn't happen to God.
Right. Okay. Number two, it is logically necessary to affirm what is necessary to the concept of a necessary being.
Are you following so far?
Track with me here.
Okay. So.
Number three, existence is logically necessary to the concept of a necessary being.
Now we're going to explain these, so just hang in there.
Four, therefore, a necessary being, i.e. God, necessarily exists.
Very good, Dave. You read that very well.
I lost myself.
Simply put, the simple fact that we can conceive of the idea of a God, which is a being who's absolutely perfect and necessary, is proof that God exists.
So if I can conceive of a Bronco flavored lollipop, it exists.
No, not even close.
Oh,
okay, so let's use water pipes as an example. Okay, because that Denver Broncos themed flavored lollipop.
Yeah,
what do the Denver Broncos taste like anyway?
I don't know. It's yummy.
That's disgusting. All right, so but that is not necessary.
Okay.
Its existence doesn't have to exist. Its existence doesn't have to be real.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
You're right.
So it doesn't have to exist.
Right. A Bronco flavored lollipop is not necessary
for existence.
For existence.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's the analogy. This argument is so confusing and awesome. Okay, so let's look at water pipes.
Yes.
All right. Water pipes, by definition, carry water in a pipe.
Yes. That's why they're called water pipes.
That's right. Okay, so we're making the analogy. Number one in the argument said God is, by definition, a necessary being. Well, we're saying water pipes, by definition, carry water in a pipe.
There you go.
Right? We agree with that. Mm-hmm. Now, it's logically necessary to affirm what is necessary. So, okay. It's logically necessary. So you have to agree with whatever's necessary to the concept of carrying water in a pipe. Okay, so if water is being carried in a pipe, then you have to agree with whatever fact has to be for water to be carried in the pipe.
Okay, right. All right. So basically, the reality of water being carried in a pipe, we have to agree that everything that is there that is necessary for water to be carried in a pipe
actually exists.
Actually exists.
Okay, that
for water
to be carried in a pipe.
Carried in a pipe.
So you can't if it's true that water is being carried in a pipe, you can't have a water pipe that can't carry water in a pipe. That
right.
Right? That
because
doesn't
then
work.
Wouldn't be a water
because then it wouldn't be a water
pipe.
Be okay?
Air pipe.
So, number three says space for water to flow is logically necessary to the concept of carrying water in a pipe.
That one I get.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Like you have to have space for the water to go through. Mm-hmm. That's logically necessary. So if you have a water pipe, it has to have space for the water to go through it. Therefore, a water pipe necessarily has space for water to flow.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not a water pipe.
Right. It's like just a thing.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's go back then to the argument for God's existence.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm ready for this.
God is, by definition, a necessary being.
Okay, yes, he is necessary for our existence.
Right, just like space in the water pipes, right? All right, God is by definition necessary. He has to exist. By his definition, God has to exist. Otherwise, nothing else would.
Right.
It is logically necessary to affirm, so you have to agree with, whatever's necessary to the concept of necessary being.
Okay.
Okay, so you're saying, okay, so God's... His existence is necessary. If God is real, he really has to.
Right, because if his existence wasn't necessary, he wouldn't exist.
He wouldn't be a necessary being.
Right.
Okay? And you have to affirm whatever's necessary to a concept of a being that is necessary.
Right.
Now here's the part.
I think
that
I just
matters.
Heard somebody's radio clicking off.
Exactly. Because I'm happy, I'm alone, if you feel like a room.
Oh boy.
Right. Existence is logically necessary to the concept of a necessary being.
Yes, because if a necessary being didn't exist,
he wouldn't be necessary.
Or a necessary being, period.
Right. Yeah. If God didn't have to exist,
he wouldn't.
Well, no, that's not what it's saying.
Okay.
If God didn't have to exist, he wouldn't be God.
Okay. Right.
He wouldn't be God.
Right.
Because if you're really God, you have to exist.
Absolutely.
Existence is necessary to the definition of what it means to be
right,
God.
Right, because if God wasn't necessary, if he didn't have to exist, then he's not a God.
Right.
Because he's now being commanded by other laws above him that say he doesn't have to exist.
So existence is necessary to the definition of God.
Right.
And we have to agree that whatever's necessary for a necessary being to exist has to actually be there. And existence is necessary for God because he's a necessary being. So this necessary being known as God has to actually have existence. Otherwise, you couldn't even conceive that there was a being who's necessary of existence.
Okay, I can agree with that.
That's the argument. What? We're going to go in a little bit deeper. Okay. This argument, and they're like, deeper?
Another one bites the dust.
Right.
Another one bites the dust.
All right. So
my brain cells are committing suicide.
We're going to explain it a little bit better.
Okay.
This argument was actually developed by Anselm of Canterbury. And philosophers have argued about its validity and soundness for 1,000 years.
I can understand why.
Anselm actually called this the proof of prayer. He came up with this idea while meditating on the concept of a perfect being.
Huh.
So just get on your knees. You meditate about what does it mean for God to be perfect, and your brain starts rocking. At least Anselm was. His brain was rocking. He's probably a lot more intelligent than most of us. He'd practiced meditation for decades, and he came up with this. It just came to him while he was praying. And so they call it the proof from prayer. Anyway, and this is what he came up with, right? Number one, God is by definition necessary, a necessary being. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be necessary?
That means in order to be necessary, you have to be.
You have to exist.
Right.
You can't be necessary if you don't have to exist.
Right.
Okay, so a water pipe has to have space for the water to flow.
Right.
Right. If it didn't have space for water to flow, it wouldn't be a water pipe.
Right, because there wouldn't be space for water to flow.
Right, it'd just be a chunk of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So what God is, by definition, a necessary being, okay? He has to exist. He cannot not exist.
Right.
Now, number two says, it's logically necessary to affirm what is necessary to the concept of a necessary being.
Right.
This is the one where everyone starts to check out. Okay, well, what does logically necessary mean? It just means we have to agree with what's being said.
Right.
Okay. Why is it necessary to affirm what is necessary? Say it differently. If a being really cannot not exist.
Okay, cannot not exist?
Cannot not exist. Okay. So they have to exist.
Okay.
Then that being must logically have whatever thing it needs to exist.
Right. That makes sense.
Otherwise, it couldn't exist.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So it has to, whatever.
I'm not checking out. I'm just thinking carefully.
Yes. If a being really cannot not exist, then it has to logically have whatever thing it needs to have existence.
Right. So in order for me, if I'm going to exist,
yeah,
I have to have pizza in the Denver Broncos.
Oh, jeez.
If neither one of those existed, I couldn't exist.
You're being more in the wrong on this one. Still in the wrong. This is egregious. Do you hear me? Egregious.
I don't find it very egregious.
Sheesh. But okay, let's say air.
Okay, right.
You exist.
If air did not exist, if oxygen did not exist,
your existence would cease.
Right. And I need oxygen to exist.
Okay, so we could say like Dave has to have oxygen to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're here, so I know oxygen must exist.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Well, if there's a being who cannot not exist, if there really is a being who has to exist because he's necessary, like God is, then he has to have whatever thing he needs to exist.
Right.
Is it air? Is it water? What does God need to exist? Well, God needs existence to exist. That's the only thing God has to have. Existence.
Okay.
That's number three. Yes. Existence is logically necessary to the concept of a necessary being.
Okay, yes.
Why is it necessary? If the necessary being did not have existence, he wouldn't be a necessary being.
Right.
Right. Does this make sense?
Yes, because if a necessary being didn't have existence, he would just be...
If he didn't have to exist,
right,
then he's not really a being who has to exist.
Right. He would just be...
Not there.
Right.
Okay. If God really is a being who has to exist, you have to agree that whatever that being would have to exist, whether it's water or food or whatever, he has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God has to exist. So whatever he needs to exist, he would have water, food, but he has to have existence to exist. So you have to agree that God has existence.
Yes.
Because if he didn't have existence, he wouldn't be a necessary being.
Right.
But he's necessary. And he has to have existence, so he must exist.
Absolutely.
Some people say it's not true. They say, well, you can conceive of things that don't have to exist.
Right.
Like, what if triangles had, if triangles exist, they have three sides. But what if triangles didn't exist? Or what about, I'll give you another example on the other side of the show. Okay, if people's brains are exploding.
Right.
Actually, I feel it. I feel it. There are some people listening right now, and they're like, I think I get it.
I thought I had it.
I think I get it.
Right.
And you probably do, because I'm a really good teacher.
Right.
What? Oh, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, no.
I'm just joking. But, okay, we're going to be right back after this. This is the wrong week to promote Revolution Church, because right now people are just going, I'm never going there.
Right. Way to go, Jeff.
We don't talk about this stuff on Sunday at church, but you do need to come out to Sunday Funday if you're not here already. We're having a great time not talking about the ontological argument.
Right.
Although I do love it.
You do.
But coming out to Revolution Church, we'll be right back. I'll explain this better on the other side of this break.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Sunday Fun Day.
This Sunday at Revolution Church, come and learn about God, but also bounce houses, cinnamon rolls, hot dogs, and tons of fun.
That's Sunday, October 15th. Our church services are at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30.
Come at 8 o'clock for cinnamon rolls, and if you come to the 11:30 service, we'll do hot dogs afterwards.
The kids program will be taking them out to the bounce houses all morning long.
Go to www.revo.church.
That is R-E-V-O.church.
Revolution Church, Sunday Fun Day,
October 15th. Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you're part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out.
Not at all. He said, be my church.
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is there grace in the Old Testament, or is it something new in the New Testament after Jesus?
Virtually every story in the Old Testament is proof of grace, actually.
The theological phrase is salvation history, a recounting of the many times God had mercy on Israel.
It's a very clear pattern that we see over and over and over.
And it goes something like this.
Step one, Israel forsakes God and breaks a command, especially worshiping other gods and rejecting the real God.
Step two, God gives Israel over to nations to harm it, take them captive, or ruin them.
Step three, Israel cries out to God, Yahweh, for deliverance from their situation. They ask for mercy.
Step four, God gives them mercy and delivers Israel from their enemies.
We see this over and over. Mercy's not new when Jesus comes. In fact, the whole point of the Old Testament laws was to help everyone understand.
You are not perfect. You need God's mercy.
So, mercy in the Old Testament? Absolutely.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
Sunday Fun Day.
Do you or your kids like bounce houses?
Yeah.
Do you like cinnamon rolls or hot dogs?
Oh, come on, yeah.
Do you like church?
No, not really.
You'll like Revolution. Wear whatever you want. We'll even like your tattoos.
Revolution Church's Sunday Fun Day.
This Sunday, show up before our 8:30 service for cinnamon rolls and bounce houses.
Or our 11:30 service for bounce houses and stay for hot dogs.
You're going to love the church service too. So money back guarantee.
But it's all free. So
go to www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Revolution.
As I was going up the stair, I met a man that wasn't there.
Yeah. Then what happened?
I don't remember.
Is that
it's an old rhyme from my childhood.
I thought you were like sharing a Robert Frost Frost.
No, it was just this argument kind of reminds me of the non-existent. It's like as I was going up the stair, I met a man that wasn't there. I can't remember exactly how that all flows, but it's one of those arguments that how can you meet something that's not there? Well, we're going to tell you, but God is there because you and I have met him.
Wow.
Am I right?
No.
Kind of? Not even a little?
No.
Oh, darn.
People, Hindus.
Why do you even let me talk?
Hindus say that they know their God exists because they feel a burning in their bosom.
Okay, right.
And because they can confirm the feeling, the fact that they have met God, they can confirm his existence.
Well, I have a burning in my bosom every Tuesday night when I go eat wings.
Yeah, see. Let's just go back to recycling poetry, okay? Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood. And looked down one as far as I could until it bent in the undergrowth.
Let's go back to the ontological argument.
Then took the other as just as fair.
Jeff,
and having
please,
perhaps a better claim
stop.
Because it was grassy and wanted wear.
Ah,
as for that, the passing
out.
There had warned them really about the same. What?
I didn't know this about you.
Another one bites the dust. You didn't know I memorized poetry?
I didn't. I'm really actually kind of shocked and surprised. I don't know how to feel right now.
You've known me a long time. Okay. Well, anyway. People say the ontological argument. Let's get back to the topic at hand. People say the ontological argument is kind of like saying, number one, if Zeedledirts existed, they'd have to be blue. Since they have to be blue, Zeedledirts are blue.
Right.
So therefore, Zeedledirts are blue creatures.
Right.
Okay, but it's argued, well, sure, you may think they're blue, but they may not exist. So a lot of this comes from a misunderstanding of what necessary is. Mm-hmm. Philosophers have debated this a long time, but when we talk about a being who is necessary for existence, when we're saying that God has to exist because that's part of his nature,
right.
We're saying if you are God, you are a necessary being. It is part of your nature. There is no way around it that you have to exist. Right. Like God cannot even cause himself to cease existing.
Mm-hmm.
If he did, everything else would cease to exist as well.
Right. And that's one of the things that I mean, just the simple fact that we're here and conceiving of God means he has to exist.
That's the argument in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I'm kind of getting it, but the thing that I'm having a hard time getting around is mm-hmm. is being like, well, what if God isn't necessary for everything to exist?
Okay.
And I know that's kind of heresy to our show, but I'm just trying to kind of thinking being the opposite argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if God wasn't necessary for existence, then we would have a different definition of God. It would be a definition of a God more like one of the ancient Roman gods.
Okay.
Okay, so they're almost mortal in a way. They're exaggerated mortals. Zeus and these other gods are basically human creatures who have been exaggerated and expounded upon.
Gotcha.
Their qualities mm-hmm. are very much human-like. But the God that we talk about is a God who never came into existence at one point. He always existed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was no, God has no beginning and no ending. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay, if something has no beginning and no ending, does it have to exist?
Yes.
It does. It has to exist at all time, no matter what. So existence is logically necessary for God.
Right, absolutely.
Right? His existence is necessary. Without God, nothing else. He is the one who created the universe. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So without God, nothing else would exist.
Right.
And because he's beyond the beginning and past the end, right? His existence goes all the way in both directions. So if he stops existing, everything else stops existing. And his existence spans an eternity in both directions, meaning there was never a time where he didn't exist. And without him, nothing else existed. So he is necessary in that time, material, you, me, universe, everything is reliant upon God for his for its existence.
Right. Send your questions into Jeff at questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Let's dumb it down for just a little bit. Do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Well, this one ought to be real easy. Shall we drink alcohol or not?
After the ontological argument.
That's like totally going the opposite spectrum there. All right, let's get serious here. Deuteronomy 14, 26 through 27 says, use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. So,
drink alcohol.
Drink alcohol. However, Romans 14, 21 says, it is better not to eat meat or drink wine to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So no,
do not drink alcohol.
Right.
What's okay. Well, up? Our cracked acronym, which my atheist friend told me was bull the other day.
Did he? Yeah.
Anyway,
he did.
That was on the show. That was on last week's show. Mm-hmm. The cracked acronym, the first C stands for
context.
Context. We're going to read the context here. And when you read the context in Deuteronomy, it's just talking about normal living life for mm-hmm. people 4,000 years ago.
Okay.
They're giving offerings to God. They're celebrating God. It's okay to have some wine.
Okay.
God says, drink a little bit. That's fine. No problem there. The book of Romans, where it says it's better to not drink wine, you read the context, it's talking about what if there is a fellow believer, another Christian that's near you who they think alcohol is bad. It's not saying whether they're right or wrong. It's just saying, what if they think that alcohol is bad? Then in that instance, don't drink it.
Right.
Don't drink it when you're with them. You might as well say, well, the USA contradicts itself. Huh? You don't let 12-year-olds drink, but you let 40-year-olds drink. Well, which one is it? It depends on the circumstance.
Right.
Right. We let people drink after 21, mm-hmm. and they can't drink until 21, right? The circumstance matters.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Deuteronomy is giving a circumstance where drinking is okay. Romans is giving a circumstance where drinking is not okay.
Right, amen, yeah.
That's okay. All there is. If you're around someone who has a hard time with drinking, or if you're around someone who thinks drinking's not okay, don't drink.
Right, so think of your fellow man and think of what he's going to think. Don't make him stumble.
That's right. So I don't drink, but it's because, well, I mean, I had a lot of alcoholic relatives, and I'm just never, ever going to go down that road. That's right. Just stupid. Mm-hmm. But I also don't drink because I'm a pastor, and I know there's a lot of people around who are alcoholics, and I wouldn't want them to see me drinking and go, why is my pastor drinking? Right. And like and really they, mess with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, totally lose their faith.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just not going to do it. Is it okay to drink? Yeah, it's fine. If you can do it in moderation without getting drunk, sure. That's the answer for our contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Oh, you ended that much too quickly, Jeff. Now we got to get back into the ontological argument.
Okay, let's just do a listener question.
I got a question.
All right, listener question. Kendall asks, I was told by my dad, who hates that I go to church, by the way, that Adam and Eve actually had three sons, so it makes zero sense that we could be descendants of theirs.
Okay, so here's how three guys have children together. I'm just kidding. It would be pretty hard for humanity.
You've seen the movie, Three Men and a Baby.
That's true.
Right?
And the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito?
Twins?
Yeah. No. The one where Arnold has a baby?
Oh, yeah.
What's that called?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, probably the most important thing to answer this question is Genesis 5:4, because I agree it would be hard for humanity to come from three dudes. It says this.
After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters.
It's just a footnote in the story, really, but it shows that there were others. All right, so Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel and Seth, three dudes. But it says after that, they lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters.
Right. Cain and Abel and Seth were just major players.
Yes,
at the beginning of time.
That's right. They were major players. So the Bible talks about them. The Bible doesn't say who was first or last or anything like that. So, I mean, Adam and Eve may have had Cain first and then 12 daughters and then Abel. Right. I mean, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. But it's important to remember the Bible doesn't record everything. So when it says Adam and Eve had sons named Cain, Abel, and Seth, it's telling the history of those three for a reason. It doesn't mean there was nobody else. Right. All right. Similar to your history books, you probably read about George Washington 100 times, but never once in school did anyone tell you that he had five siblings. Why? Because it's not important to the point that your history book was communicating. It was like George Washington, the first president of the United States. Blah, 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 blah.
Had wooden teeth.
Didn't tell you that he had five siblings, or maybe even didn't tell you that he had wooden teeth.
And he chopped down a cherry tree.
Probably didn't even tell you that he wasn't the first president of the United States, which was actually Samuel Huntington.
Oh, here we go again.
Did you know I was going to go there?
No, I should have
Google
known.
It, all right? Google it.
You think we're in the wrong on this one? Stalin and wrong.
It's egregious.
It's egregious. You hear me?
It's egregious, I tell you.
Egregious.
Right?
Tell them the reason why you say that.
Because George Washington was the first president of the United States after the Constitution was ratified. Uh-huh. But under the Articles of Confederation is when the United States actually became a country. Uh-huh. Samuel Huntington was president of the Congress at the time that the Articles of Confederation were ratified, making him the first president of the United States.
So what is that to you?
Samuel Huntington was my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Oh, here we go.
We got a learning disability here.
That's the answer for a listener question.
I got a question.
You think I just got skin in the game. That's the only reason I care. I care about the truth, Dave.
The truth. Nothing but the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
No, you can't handle the truth.
All right. Apparently, we don't have time to finish the ontological argument, but you heard it. You know it.
It's okay. The ontological argument finished us.
God is necessary a being. Necessary being has to have what's necessary to him if he's really necessary.
Right.
An existence.
Pizza and Broncos.
Existence is necessary to him if he's actually a necessary being. So he has to have existence.
Yes.
So God exists because, by definition, he's a necessary being.
Send your questions to questions at truthrevolution.tv, i.e. Jeff.
Yeah, hit me up.
He'll get you.
All right. Come on out to Revolution Church. We We love brain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We love all of you, even when you disagree with us and post nasty comments on our YouTube channel.
Right.
We love it all.
Yeah, especially you. Come to church.
Come down to church. Right. Send us some questions. Thanks for those of you who financially support Truth Revolution and Revolution Church. Dave really loves you.
We do.
And I do too. Have a great week.